Hello, praise the Lord. This is Pastor Tony Alamo again, and we're going to be attempting to read to you and bring commentary on a piece of literature that the Lord gave me several years ago. It's called Baptism, but this will be part two. And usually when I pray, Lord, take over the service, whatever you want to say. So a lot of times, before I pray, I'm going to attempt to do part two as I tried yesterday, but he wouldn't even allow me to read the letters that come in. We had a couple of them from Africa, one from Los Angeles, and we've got lots of letters. We're just not able to do them all. A real good mail, and I just would rather get... I want people to know that we're being endorsed all over the world by leaders of countries and just people everywhere, just people on the street. And just praise and thank the Lord for that He is anointing me with the Spirit of God to preach and teach the gospel. So we do have the... We're going to attempt again to do... Part two of Baptism, and then also a couple of letters. And right now, though, let's go to the throne of the Lord. Father, I thank and praise you. I pray that you will anoint with your outward anointing, Father, and that you open up the hearts and the minds and the spirits of everyone to receive the truth that you pour out outwardly on me this evening. That the church will be strengthened, and Lord, that millions of souls will be saved by these tapes. We know that people distribute these tapes all over, and that people play them in services where there are many people. Yeah, Lord God, we ask that all these things in the name of Jesus, and everyone says amen.
Amen.
All right, now where's the first letter from?
From Los Angeles, California.
Okay.
Dear Pastor Tony, I want to tell you how much I really admire and love you because of what you are to me. When my family was younger, Christmas really wasn't much of anything but a toy or two here and there. We were happy but very poor. But I'll never forget the Christmas after my dad got saved and moved into the church.
Yeah, ignorance is bliss, right? I was happy too, I thought, before I got saved. But when I got saved, I really found out what happiness was all about. But anyway, go ahead.
We received presents from the ministry. Lots of nice presents, stuff we wanted but couldn't afford. That was an unforgettable Christmas for us. Then my family was in distress, and you had us come to the church. Years later, I got saved. All the things you have done for me spiritually by my listening to your wisdom and knowledge of the Bible on the message tapes. The messages are priceless, better than anything else, because when I listen to them, then they cleanse, fill, and strengthen me inside. Just seeing your testimony and observing it, I know that you have the most Christ-like testimony I have ever seen in anyone else. You have been a lot of things to me. You really mean a lot to me. Christ also means a lot to me. I have seen the steadfastness of Jesus in you, never ceasing to tell us what God says to us individually. I know that there is still so much to learn. I feel that I am growing in the Lord, though. Tony, I want you to know that what you have done for me is immeasurable. I really love you so much. I've been wanting to tell you this for a long time, but really couldn't find the words. Thank you so very much, and Merry Christmas. God bless, Debbie Tipton.
Right, well, Merry Christmas to you also, Debbie, and your husband. And I pray that Merry Christmas to every one of you out in Radio Land as well. Don't know whether you heard the tape on Christmas, but Merry Christmas. And forget about happy, this Merry Holiday, you know, this stuff. This is garbage. It's not Holiday's birthday. It's Jesus' birthday. And it's not X's birthday. It's Christ's birthday. Amen?
Amen.
I heard one of the evangelists on television, I think it was my friend out in Dallas, Texas, or I think Kenneth Copeland, he says, How would you like it if it was your birthday and somebody said Happy X or Happy Holidays to you instead of your name, amen? Mm-hmm. Or Happy Birthday to you. So it's Christ's birthday, amen?
Amen.
And I, Lord, the hope and the that he has brought into this world and the faith that he's brought into this world through his word and the deeds that he has done and the spirit that he's pouring out upon all flesh now. It's Christ's birthday. And everyone that attempts to destroy that, I pray that you get right with the Lord. There's no way that you can until you accept Christ as your personal Savior. All right, now where's the next letter from, please?
From Kampala, Uganda, Africa.
All right, what do they have to say?
Dear Pastor Lomo, greetings from Kampala. I am Pastor Prosper from Kitchentail Baptist Church. I have been distributing your literature here in Kampala. The messages are easily understood. They are very warmly received across all the denominations. They bring a big sense of urgency among the believers of the imminence of his second coming.
This is wonderful because, you know, if you're walking according to the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, it doesn't matter if what denomination you are. We all, those of us, there's a lot of people in every denomination that don't believe in the Lord. They're around the church, but they don't have Christ inside them. And when people acknowledge this spirit-filled gospel, and they're receiving it the way it is in Baptist churches, and we know that some Episcopalians are coming out of there, or they feel that they can stay in there and witness to the others in there. But I'll tell you, if there was a home, if I was a church goer, and I was in some church where they made the bishop of the church, or a homosexual, the bishop of the church, I would get out of there very quick. Okay, you just can't do that and be right in the eyes of the Lord. Okay, well, go ahead.
Many keep asking for more. Personally, I think this literature is God-sent for his work of reaching out to the lost and waking up the lukewarm believers into the kingdom business. Please do kindly send me your Alamo Ministry sweatshirt extra large. The church committee members, too, are excited and are requesting for 5 extra-large T-shirts, if possible.
Sure, it's possible. If they're out distributing literature and preaching in the church, they can have then what?
Thank you, Pastor Prosper from Kampala, Uganda, Africa.
Praise the Lord. Then you have another one?
Yes, from Lagos State, Nigeria, Africa.
All right, let's hear what they have to say.
Dear Tony, I am happy to tell you the progress going on in our ministries now. As a result of your newsletters you have been sending to us since the year 2003 till now. Pastor O.K. is the senior pastor of Christ Ambassadors Fellowship International, who has been an affiliate of your church in spreading the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Recently, the ministers and the elders of my ministries resolved to be paying our ministry's tithe to your church. Please send to us the formalities required to this effect through my email address. All the things you may require from us shall be forwarded to you at your request.
Well, there's nothing required. If you've got something, we just love to support others. We're not a taking church. We give. If somebody ties in here, we just give it right out to where we know it's needed. And there's no formality to it. Just send a check. Cash check or money order. All right, then what else?
It is our desire to be part of what God is doing in your church. It may interest you to know that all Nigeria and most part of Africa is benefiting much from your newsletters via our aggressive evangelism.
Praise the Lord.
We are seriously looking forward to more coordinate relationship. We wait earnestly for your reply. Your sons in the Lord, Pastor O.K. from Lagos State, Nigeria, Africa.
Praise the Lord. Pastor O.K. and Pastor Prosperous. Those are great names. Amen.
Amen.
Well, we'll let him know by sending a tape, and brother, you can have all these tapes that you like, too, if you're not picking up on us on Radio Africa. What do they call that, Radio Africa?
Yes.
All right, so we're on 3 major stations there, shortwave, and, of course, that's what the major amount of people listen to in that area is shortwave, and so we thank and praise the Lord for you, brother. All right, now, We're at it. Part two of baptism.
God commands his children to do things that are impossible for unbaptized, unregenerated, unsaved people to do, such as keep his moral law.
Right. Because they're not walking in the law of the spirit of life. If we're walking in carnality, you cannot keep the law. Only if you've been born again of the Spirit are you spiritual, you're a new creature, and you are more than conquerors in Christ Jesus, and you are able to do all things in Christ Jesus. That's what the Bible says, that there's no condemnation to those of us that are in Christ Jesus, and that Christ Jesus is in us. And praise the Lord. And being in Christ is that we're into reading his word and doing what it says. That's being in Christ. We can't do that unless he's in us. So if you find it hard to keep the commandments of the Lord, well, then you need to get Christ in you. Christ must dwell inwardly in you in order for you to be able to have the power, which the Bible calls grace, the grace of God, the power of God in you, enabling you to do all that he commands us to do. You are my friends, he says. If, this is conditional, if you do everything I say, and you can't do that unless he is in you, he with his Father by the Spirit. And if he is, you're more than able to do it. As a matter of fact, you're able to walk after it, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, which is even more amplified. It's amplified. It's more than the moral law, because the Lord tells you not even to look at a woman in lust, and you can't do that unless you're born again of the Spirit. We have to remember that we are the chaste virgin bride of Christ. The chaste virgin bride of Christ does not sin, cannot sin. Otherwise, there'd be blemishes on us and spots on us. But we, according to the Bible, in the book of Revelation, states that we must be holy. We must be the chaste virgin of, or bride of Christ, which is glorious and comes down from heaven after we've been taken up immediately after the tribulations. The Bible says that these people are given rewards because they went through the tribulations. These are the ones that went through the great tribulations. Amen?
Amen.
So that shows us that we're going to go through the great tribulations. But it's going to be just as the Hebrew children in Egypt were. They went through terrible tribulations. The Lord destroyed Egypt, but all the children of Israel were kept in a certain place to where they were not affected by the wrath of God that was coming down upon that place. So if you're in Christ, people say, well, it's going to be so bad that no flesh should be able to take it. Yes, no flesh could. That's why we must walk after the law of the Spirit of life, because there's no kind of condemnation, no wrath of God upon you at all. If you're alive in Christ, in the Spirit, if you're following the law of the Spirit of life in Christ. So, but the Bible says that no flesh would be able to handle it. But we will, some of us, if you die before we're into the tribulations right now, the beginning of woes, wars, rumors of wars, false prophets, every kind of disease, all these things are happening and much more. But the Lord hasn't raptured you people out yet, so don't believe those false prophets that say you're going to be raptured out of the tribulation. If you're going to live, you're alive now and you're in good health, you're very much apt to be through the tribulations. The devil doesn't want you to stay in the Spirit. He wants you to think, oh, you're just going to be taken out of this mess down here. But not so, according to Scripture. Jesus himself said, immediately after the tribulation, he's coming back to get us. So gear up with the Spirit, and don't murmur and complain or be offended with the Word of God. I know a lot of people just don't like it so much that they won't preach it or teach it, but I love the Word of God. It warns us to get ourselves ready for the wrath of God that's coming down upon this earth, and to be led by the Spirit enough to know where to be at the time that that happens. I don't want to be sitting in some cafe someplace on the Riviera, you know, with the people, the elite, while the tribulations start coming down, like over in Indonesia when the tsunami hit. Oh, they thought they'd run to the waves to see the wave, big waves coming in. They didn't realize they were going to be that big. All right, and they got them. A whole bunch of them got killed, almost 200,000 of them. So, if you're led by the Spirit, you'll know if you're in on the French Riviera or wherever you are, that the Lord says for you to go to Great Falls, Montana, or wherever. There'd be some place, maybe in the East Coast, West Coast, who knows. When the time comes, if you're walking in the Spirit, you'll know where to move and stay, and He'll provide a place for you if you're in the Spirit. Okay, so let's go ahead.
Keeping the moral law and doing all the other things that God commands is extremely easy for those of us who are inwardly baptized, regenerated. That is because it is God Himself in us who is actively doing it. When the Apostle Paul said, quote, "I die daily," unquote, he meant that his old life and world are dead and buried daily by his will being the same as God's will. In other words, he places himself in Christ's death on the cross, in Christ's very same burial, and in Christ's very same resurrection on a daily basis. By doing this, the Apostle Paul fulfilled Christ's first commandment to every regenerated, baptized Christian, quote, "Take up his cross daily and follow me," unquote. Christ stated also, quote, "He that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me," unquote. The Lord commands us to, quote, love not...
No, you're not worthy of Him because you're carnal. You're disobeying His command. His command says, deny thyself and then take up the cross. In other words, to you put the cross to your flesh, to your mind, to your spirit, to everything, all the things of this world, and follow me. In other words, walk in the Spirit as I did, according to the law of the Spirit of life, in me. And what?
The Lord commands us to, quote, love not the world, unquote. When Adam fell, a door was opened for a new world order. In the Garden of Eden, everything was provided for Adam, his wife, and their future children. When they broke God's commandment, they broke communion with Him. That is why God put them out of the Garden of Eden and into the world. The provisions that God supplied to them, such as food, protection, and a blessed immortal life without death, old age, sickness, or disease, were no longer provided for them. A wall of partition was raised between God and man. Adam and his seed then had to work for their food, make weapons to protect themselves, and manufacture joy and pleasantries to entertain themselves with rather than gain their food, protection, and joy through their communion with God. They also had to get old and die. This was the beginning of Satan's world order. The weapons for man's defense are now awesome in power. It is during this present time that the world order has accelerated its demise with weapons of defense that are powerful enough to destroy the entire earth, and pleasantries more than strong enough to destroy man's eternal soul, as well as enough food and drink to keep man's mind on rather than on the bread and water of life. We must work continuously in order to feed ourselves. In an attempt to find joy and peace, billions are spent each year on satanic, hollow entertainment and on weapons to protect ourselves. However, those who are unsaved feel more vulnerable than ever.
That statement is not necessarily true. There's a lot of people that are sponging off the government. And the Bible says that if a person doesn't work, if a man doesn't work, he shouldn't eat. But they're still eating, and so they're disobeying the Lord, too. And for this, they think they're getting away with murder. But the Lord says that because of their disobedience, that they don't go and go to work and earn their living by the sweat of their brow, these men, that they're going to go to hell. Any disobedience to the Word of God is sin. The worst sin of all is unbelief. Because if you don't believe... To believe, you're saved, and to doubt, in other words, if you don't believe, you're damned. Okay? Then what?
Babylon is the exact opposite of God's safety, protection, joy, happiness, peace, and everlasting life.
And the Bible talks that it's mystery Babylon the Great. That's different than Babylon that used to be Persia. This is mystery Babylon, which is Rome, the Roman Catholic cult. And that's the one the Bible says is causing all the trouble in the world today. All the wars, everything, for hundreds and hundreds of years, even thousands of years. It's the devil in people, the corporate body. They're going to do a thing on television now that's it's going to tell us who the Antichrist is and that he's going to set up in Israel. Well, yes, but the body of Christ is a corporate body of millions of people, and the Antichrist, the body of Antichrist, is millions of people also. Satan lives in hundreds of millions of people, and the Lord lives in millions of people. And the Antichrist headquarters will be set up in Israel, because it's uncovered now that the Roman Catholic cult is not, that Rome is not the Holy See, or the Vatican, that's the unholy see, if ever there was an unholy see, and it for sure is. But they want to move now to Jerusalem so that they can say when the major or the actual head of this Antichrist regime will set up their shop right there in a man-made temple, which is really not the temple of God. We are the temple of God. Okay, then what else? Those of us that walk in the Spirit.
Now the world order, Babylon, has matured and ripened into its full growth.
Mystery Babylon. Okay, then what else?
The state that God said it would be in just before it is destroyed on the eve of his second coming. The world order has now become the image of, quote, Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth.
Mystery
unquote.
Babylon the Great. Okay. Then what?
The Lord warns us of this in a command, quote, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. The Lord commands us to, quote, come out of her, out of the world system, mystery Babylon, my people, that ye be not partakers of her sins.
Right. Do you think that pornography is of the Lord? Or of the devil?
Of the devil.
Okay, well then come away from that. Turn your back on it. Flee from the very appearance of evil. If you believe that adultery is of the Lord, well, you'd better read your Bible, because the Bible says no adultery shall enter the kingdom of God. And fornication, lying, stealing, all the different things, you must take up the cross. Deny yourself, take up the cross and follow the Lord. Walk in the Spirit, not after the flesh or of this world. Then what?
The Lord commands us to, quote, come out of her, out of the world system, mystery Babylon, my people, that ye be not partakers of her sins, and that ye receive not of her plagues, unquote. The life of God in us baptizes or severs us from mystery Babylon, the world order, because mystery Babylon is dead and buried with our former lives by the same baptism. The life of God, which gives us the gift of, quote, eternal life, unquote, in Christ's resurrection, is not to be confused with another gift given by God through the same Spirit, the gift of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. The baptism of the Holy Spirit is one of the many operations of the Holy Spirit that are separate and distinct from our initial baptism, regeneration, salvation. The difference between the baptism into Christ's death, burial, and resurrection, which gives us the gift of eternal life, and the gift of the baptism in the Holy Spirit is partially made clear in Acts chapter 1, verse 5. Quote, For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days hence. Unquote. Jesus was instructing regenerated disciples, those who had already been saved. This scripture makes it clear that at that very time the disciples were saved, they had not yet been baptized with the gift of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. The Lord promised his regenerated saved disciples that they would be baptized with the baptism of the Holy Spirit not many days hence. Jesus told his disciples this truth in John chapter 15, verse 3, quote, now ye are clean, saved through the word which I have spoken unto you, unquote. Again, this shows that they were already inwardly baptized, saved, regenerated. The life of God in Christ in the Spirit had been planted, watered, and increased in them. quote, God gave the increase, unquote, on the day of Pentecost, when they were given another gift for the growth of the church and the ministry, the building. This was the baptism in the Holy Spirit. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 23 states that becoming clean through the word means, quote, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, clean seed, which is the word of God, which, by our faith in God's life, liveth and abideth in us forever, unquote. This is what Paul planted, quote, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase, the growth for the body, the building, which is for Christ, unquote. Before that, Jesus had stated to his disciples, quote, He that is washed needeth not save to wash his feet, but is clean every whit, and ye are clean, but not all, unquote. This last part refers to Judas. There are many more scriptures that tell us that the gift of the baptism in the Holy Spirit is different than the gift of eternal life. All those ministering today without the life of God in them, or without the baptism in the Holy Spirit, are vessels wherein the activity and growth of God cannot be found. Even though they may possess the knowledge of God, knowledge is only of the mind. Life is only in the seed which is planted, watered by the Word, and miraculously given the growth by the Spirit of God, which is incorporated within the Word, received in the heart or the Spirit. Without the gift of the baptism in the Holy Spirit, we do not have the power of God's life in us and are unable to plant the seed of life by the Spirit. We may possess the knowledge, but, quote, knowledge puffeth up, unquote. The Spirit brings forth life. Those ministering by knowledge and not by the Spirit are not regenerated. They cannot give life to others, a thing they themselves do not possess. Without God's life living in us and the gift of the baptism in the Holy Spirit, we would be unable to joyfully and peacefully endure the persecutions, fiery trials, and tribulations that come to everyone who has the life of God actively living, growing, and working in them. 1 Peter 3rd chapter tells us how, quote, the long-suffering of God waited in the days of Noah while the ark was a-preparing, wherein few, that is, 8 souls, were saved by water, and the rest of the world was crucified, buried by that same water. The like figure whereunto even baptism doth also now save us, not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God by the resurrection of Jesus Christ, unquote. Peter stated that nothing but our going through the inward baptism can and will save us. Again, Jesus stated, quote, Except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God, unquote. Peter believes strongly in our salvation through this inward baptism, just as he believed in the salvation of Noah and his family by baptism. This salvation was seen when Noah and his family, who believed in God, were saved from the world which was crucified, baptized, and buried by the water. Noah and his family were resurrected out of it by rising above that same water by the same baptism. This baptism prefigured the future work that the Holy Spirit would do in the lives of men after Christ's death, burial, resurrection, and ascension into heaven. They were in the ark, which is symbolic of Christ's life, saving us from the world. This shows the condemnation of God to the world and all that is therein, his burial of it, and his salvation, which is given to those who are godly by Christ's death, burial, and resurrection. After the Babylonian world order is done away with by Christ, God's kingdom will reign forevermore. The end of Mystery Babylon, the world order, will be by the stone, Christ, which was cut out without hands, the uncreated God himself. It shall smite, quote, the image, figure of Mystery Babylon, upon his feet that were of iron and clay, and break them to pieces, unquote. Christ shall destroy the ability of this kingdom to continue any further.
Now, you wonder why Satan, why the people of darkness, the people of this cult, hate the Word of God, because it tells where this cult is located, the headquarters right in Rome, Italy, and that its tentacles are all over the world. They're everywhere. It's like a more than an octopus. It's just everywhere. So that's why they're trying to put an end to it, because people are getting wise, they're getting hip to the Word of God, and they know that it's the Antichrist, the headquarters of Antichrist. Even in the days of Paul, he said there are many Antichrists even today, and there are like millions, maybe even billions of them today. So the whole corporate body of Antichrist is really built up, and that's why they're able to just force the Word of God out of many people, except those of us that are born of the Spirit. And they're brutish, and the Spirit of God, the body of Christ, is here on earth, and we're at war. They use guns, bullets, and judges to make horrible judgments against the people of the Lord in courtrooms, and to take the Word of God out. But we preach the Word of God, and maybe some of these people will be saved. We just pray that they will, because we believe that the Lord knows everything that's going on, and He knows that if we're faithful to preach the Word of God, many of these people that are our enemies now will become born again brothers and sisters in the Lord. And that's what it's all about. There's no point getting all excited or disturbed about these things, because we know we already have the kingdom of God, providing that we continue on in keeping the commandments of the Lord. It's just like I heard someone say, well, you know, they are watching the reruns of different football games and boxing matches and things like that. Well, if you've seen the fight before or the football game, you know that who the winner is. And so if you see them not making touchdowns and they're making all kinds of mistakes and everything in the first half or quarter, and then you know they're going to rally on the second half of the game, and they're going to score, they're going to win a basketball game or whatever. But if you really believe the Bible, you know that we win. And so you should be getting excited. Amen?
Amen.
Don't be distressed, because we win, all right?
Amen.
So instead of having to look back at it, we're looking forward at what is coming. And we know that we're the victors. The Christians win. Christ pulverizes all the satanic, demon-possessed people that don't repent. And they're going to spend eternity in hell in the lake of fire. So no matter what they say about you or do about you, don't be that distressed. Just praise and thank the Lord that we win. You know what the end of the game is. Amen?
Amen.
You know that we win. so, right? I like watching, I liked watching different sporting events, and then I like to see them again, you know. Like before I was saved, I used to like to watch Marciano. Well, you know, you just pretty much have a lot of faith that he's going to win anyway. And so no matter when they do a rerun on him, I'm too busy to watch him. But I would know that he won every fight and he's going to win. And I know that Jesus destroyed the works of Satan, and that God has said that he's going to destroy the works of Satan. And there's no point in fretting about anything that's going to happen to you today, tomorrow, or whatever. So don't get excited during the day. Don't get all hepped up and all that. Just continue carrying the cross. Continue pressing towards the mark, because if you do, you're going to be in heaven no matter what you go through in this world. Or you may say God dealt you a dirty hand, because you might not be the most handsome or pretty person in the world. But just think, or if you're blind, or if you're got one or no legs or arms, hey, you know, like if you were whole, chances are your soul would be lost, because you'd be out there in the streets, you know, doing what you're not supposed to be doing. Amen?
Amen.
So be happy with whatever you got. Maybe you're bald, or, you know, you've got something wrong with you. It's of the Lord. It's of the Lord. You're beautiful. You're beautiful because you're going to be in heaven. Amen?
Amen.
And the Lord fixed you so that you wouldn't be thinking about being out on the streets and the world and everything. And that's just fine, you know, because in the end, everything is perfect in heaven. You're going to look like you're about 17 years old, only you're going to look 1,000 times more beautiful than you did when you were 17. You're going to have sparkling eyes and perfect skin. You might be 17, look like 17 without the zits. Okay? And if you had too big of feet or too little feet, they're going to be perfect. All right, and everything, if you can't see good, your eyes are going to sparkle, just like the stars of heaven. And there's no imperfection in heaven, and everybody is very well pleased with the way they look there. And so just think about those things, you know, when you think you got dealt a bad hand here in this world. There's a lot of things that, you know, I could say, you know, I want to look like somebody or something like that, but if I was stupid. But I saw myself the way I look in heaven, and A, you know, nobody's better looking on this earth than me in heaven, all right, or my deceased wife, Sue. We're absolutely gorgeous, okay, and you will be too. You'll think you're even more handsome than I am if you're a man, and if you're a woman, you'll probably think you're more pretty than Sue, and believe me, she was gorgeous, all right? So don't, you know, the end, the Lord said that everything is perfect and everybody is well pleased with what the way they look and everything. No imperfection in heaven. If you don't have legs, you're going to have them there. You'll be running and skipping and down the streets of gold, just like the rest of us. Amen?
Amen.
So don't be bummed out, you know, just without a vision, without the vision of that, the people will perish. You'll go to hell. So don't get disturbed with what you have or what you don't have here. You might have a big growth sticking out of the side of your neck to where it looks like you got two heads. But that will not be there in the kingdom of heaven. Amen?
Amen.
And if you was born with two heads, don't worry about it. You won't there. You'll be separated. You see these Siamese twins? That won't be there. Amen?
Amen.
Where they're stuck together like that. You'll be separated. And, God, it's wonderful in heaven. I saw it. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Okay, then go ahead.
Christ will lead the victorious new nation of true believers, those who have persevered by their faith and by their baptism. This is the stone which shall shatter Satan, his kingdom, his order of things in the world, and those members of mankind that follow his proud image, Mystery Babylon. And at this time, quote, the kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever, unquote. We know this present world system that we live in is that doomed, condemned kingdom, Mystery Babylon. We are living in a condemned world. The life of God in us is kept alive and grows every day by the word of God, which is spirit and life, the tree of life. Eternal death is found by living according to the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, the world system, and man's knowledge. This includes politics, education, literature, so-called science, art, commerce, music, vice, and the computerized machine age, which is the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. After Christ's death on the cross, which included nailing the old world and everything to do with it on the cross, he resurrected from the dead and ascended, quote, into heaven, and is on the right hand of God, angels and authorities and powers being made subject unto him, unquote. Quote, and hath raised us up together with him there by his baptism into his death, his burial, and his resurrection unto life, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, unquote. God set his Son supreme above everything, and made all authorities his subjects. The Lord commanded every disciple to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. That is, we are to sow the seed of God's Spirit and life into every person, so that those who believe everything Christ said and did are baptized into his death, burial, and resurrected life.
And everybody that makes a commitment to do everything that he says to do. There's, a catch to all that. Count the cost, the Lord said, because you must count the cost, because there is a price to pay. You must deny yourself and take up the cross and follow the Lord. All right, then what?
They shall be saved, regenerated, baptized. The Apostle John in the book of Revelation was carried away by the Holy Spirit into the wilderness.
Now, why do you feel that the Lord goes through all this trouble to baptize him, blows breath into you to where you have the Holy Spirit, and then wants you to continue on and be baptized with the Holy Spirit if we're not supposed to do the work of the Lord in these last days? Why would he empower us with all that power and with all the boldness of the and assuredness that we're preaching and teaching the right thing if we weren't supposed to preach and teach and win souls. He said those that don't do that will be hewn down and cast into the fire. We have to bring forth not only fruit, because there's a lot of ministers that are false prophets, and they bring forth fruit, but the Bible says, the Word of God says, to bring forth good fruit, to sow good seed, and to make sure that it grows in the power of God. Not false doctrine, because false doctrine has no power of God in it. Like people saying that there is a... like yesterday's message that I brought, where Reverend Hagee stated the things that he did, that Jesus has a special kind of blood, and that he isn't like us at all, when the Bible says that he is, we're just like him, especially when we get filled with his Spirit. His blood became perfect by suffering, by keeping the commandments, by obedience to the very end, till the death. And so those that continue on to the end shall be saved. Not those that get saved and then fall away. They will not be saved at all. It'll be worse for you, because you're trampling the blood of Jesus underfoot. So you have to just wake up and live right. Amen?
Amen.
Wake up and die right. All right?
Amen.
Then what else?
The Apostle John in the book of Revelation was carried away by the Holy Spirit into the wilderness. The seventh angel showed him Satan's world system, Mystery Babylon, which Jesus calls, quote, the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth, unquote. The kind of abomination this world system is filled with is the abomination of blasphemy. The kings of the world have committed these abominations, the worst kind of unforgivable sin. The world leaders in politics, carnal religion, and commerce, by joining the great whore in her blasphemies, have influenced the inhabitants of the earth to partake or drink till they are, quote, drunk with the wine of her fornication, unquote, which again are blasphemies against God and God's children. They believe in the world system rather than in God's system. They believe in the life in this present world rather than eternal life in God's heavenly world.
Right. One weasel says they're offended by the name of Christ. Well, you got to know that person is the devil. Amen?
Amen.
And so everyone says, well, let's not say Merry Christmas. Let's say Happy Holidays. And then all the people that are going to hell start doing that. And it just infuriates people that are really of the Lord to hear them say that. I was very pleased to hear Kenneth Copeland on the air saying, it's the Lord's birthday, it's Christ's birthday, and he says, I'm not even going to shop at stores that say Happy Holidays or Merry Holidays instead of Merry Christmas. Amen?
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Bravo to you, Kenneth Copeland. Praise the Lord. All right, then what?
They believe in the life in this present world rather than eternal life in God's heavenly world. This is unfortunate for them. At the time of the hour when the world system's blasphemy will reach its peak, and that hour is at hand, every aspect of it will be revealed to be anti-Christian and anti-Christ to those whose eyes are opened. This is the evil wine which the Bible speaks of that causes the entire population of the world to blaspheme God by believing in the world system and its satanic doctrines over the living holy Word of God, which is fulfilled daily by the hundreds of end-time prophecies that have come to pass. They are drunk with the fornication of her blasphemy, meaning they have no sense because of the damnable nonsense that has been propagandized into them, which includes the untruths told to them by the mass media about how powerful the world order is and how weak Almighty God is. This fornication, this blasphemy, causes the entire world to believe the hallucination that the world system is something other than a condemned, doomed, and finished work of Satan, a work comprised of deceived humans whose human brains have been filled to the top with the preposterous ideas that have emanated from their master, the devil, through his mentally deranged servants in the world. The idea of Mystery Babylon and of building the Tower of Babel into heaven are both Satan's foolish pipe dreams. God destroyed Babel and put the confusion of languages upon them. Mystery Babylon will simply burn. quote, "The foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men," unquote. God also states, quote, "Vain man would be wise, though man be born like a wild ass's colt," unquote.
Now, if you order this piece of literature, there are hundreds of scriptures outlined down at the bottom of the pages where you can look up the scriptures to see which scriptures I'm using. These are all biblical, everything that I'm saying in this piece of literature. And you can get it by ordering a baptism. And you can also get the tapes. Then what else?
Man, God said, quote, is a worm, unquote. Quote, man that is born of a woman is of few days and full of trouble, unquote. His life is temporary, quote, as grass, unquote. Quote, a vapor, unquote. Quote, a shadow, unquote. Quote, behold, he put no trust in his servants, and his angels he charged with folly. How much less in them that dwell in houses of clay, whose foundation is in the dust, which are crushed before the moth, unquote.
God, what pomp, how wormish this pontiff in Rome, a worm saying that he's the Almighty God. My God, and that he's the only one on earth. The body of Christ, that Christ lives in, the incarnation of Christ is many members. He is a worm, a devil, a blasphemer of the Holy Spirit. He's going to hell. All the other popes went to hell as well. All right, then what else?
Quote, hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world, unquote?
And then some people say, well, that's not mercy. Your ministry doesn't have any mercy. Let me tell you something. When these popes blaspheme the Holy Spirit, the Word of God, and you're getting into blasphemy of the Holy Spirit too if you say that the Word of God is unmerciful. And if the Word of God offends you, well then God is offended at you. And I'm telling you, it's better that for you to not be offended at the Word of God. Blessed is he that is not offended in me. Because when you blaspheme the Holy Spirit, that means that your soul, there's no forgiveness for it here in this world or in the world to come. You're lost, and you're damned, and you're not going to repent. So that's why I'm not saying anything that is not biblical. When I say they're going to hell in the lake of fire, they are going to hell in the lake of fire. Because the Word of God is sure and certain. And he's a merciful God to those that repent and do what he says. But he says, you are my friend only if you do everything I say. And it's for sure if they're renouncing his word and making his word of no effect and even taking his name out of Christmas and saying you can't mention the name of God or you're in contempt of court in a courtroom, that's blasphemy of the Holy Spirit. And they're saying that his word is not true. That's the only truth. His word is the only truth on earth.
Mm-hmm.
All right, then what?
Quote, for the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God, unquote. The people of this world are so brain damaged by this world system, which was first created and then ruled by the insane and doomed Satan, that they believe they are knowledgeable. In actuality, they know nothing but that which their leader Satan knows and has taught them, lies and murder. They have been deceived with strong delusions and believe the lie that the world, its system, and Satan will never end. But Jesus said, quote, it is finished, unquote. Some believe the delusion that there is no heaven or hell. Some believe the delusion that God is all love and not wrath. But God is a terror.
And not wrath as well. Okay, then what else?
But God is a terror to those who do not obey him. God plainly states that the world will soon end by his wrathful 14 plagues, including a major world quake and a big fire. Quote, woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea! Exclamation point. For the devil is come down unto you having great wrath, because he knoweth that he hath but a short time, unquote. This will be such an enormous fire and hot flame that it shall melt the very elements of both heaven and earth. He makes, quote, a new heaven and a new earth, unquote. He says, quote, behold, I make all things new, unquote. But the world, having been blinded by Satan, feels that it is much more profitable to give their strength unto the dragon, quote, that old serpent called the devil, unquote, rather than to serve God, the only one who can give eternal life, and all his other precious gifts to them. quote, "The God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not," unquote. Satan, quote, "deceiveth the whole world," unquote. This deception will continue until the day, quote, "the heaven departed as a scroll when it is rolled together, and every mountain and island were moved out of their places," unquote. Then shall every knee bow, and every tongue confess that Jesus, not the devil, but Jesus, not the devil's ambassadors, but Jesus, not the devil's world system, but Jesus, is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Because they didn't believe that Jesus is King of Kings and Lord of Lords when salvation was available to them, they shall pray for, quote, "the mountains and rocks to fall on them and hide them from the face of him that sitteth on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb, Christ," unquote. But their prayer shall do them no good, quote, "for he shall have judgment without mercy that hath showed no mercy," unquote. Quote, "for as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ," unquote. Our death, our burial, and our resurrection, which includes our becoming new creatures by faith in baptism, must take place only at the all-purpose, all-inclusive cross. It becomes clear in the following words of Romans chapter 6, verse 3, quote, "Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death," unquote. In this verse of Scripture, the two phases of inward baptism are clearly shown. It is our baptism into two realms. First, we who believe, quote, "were baptized into his death," unquote. This is a powerful truth, but this is only half of the power of it. Second, the same verse states that we were, quote, "baptized into Jesus Christ," unquote. A baptism into the death of Christ Jesus, who is the life, ends our relationship with this world. But a baptism into Christ Jesus as a living person, who is the head of a holy nation, a new race, opens a new world wherein only righteousness dwells. This new world became available to the entire world on the day when Christ was lifted up on the cross. He said, quote, "And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me," unquote. It was then that he drew every regenerated soul unto himself. Being united in marriage by his life living in us causes us to be one in God's life. Quote, "There is one body and one spirit, even as ye are called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism into death and life, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all, the saved," unquote. It is eternally dangerous to our souls for us to think that we can change anything in the Word of God. Every single word which God said makes a great deal of difference to every person's soul, because each word is the life of God to their soul. Therefore, we know that God means every word that he says. This is why everyone, in order to live, must believe every word that he has ever said. Babies must not be baptized in water. It is unscriptural to baptize them because, quote, "where no law is, there is no transgression," unquote.
And they have to be saved first. They must hear the gospel, receive it, and then be baptized. Otherwise, it's of no value. And if they die before this happens, before they come to the age of accountability, they'll be in heaven anyway, so you needn't pay any money to the Catholic hucksters to buy them out of purgatory, because they're not there anyway. There's no such thing as purgatory. All right, then what else?
People are not to be baptized in water until they have been saved and the life of God has entered them. Therefore, babies cannot believe both, because they don't have any consciousness of sin, and because water baptism only has meaning after internal baptism. It is unscriptural to baptize babies. If they die, they are saved. The thief on the cross next to Jesus did not need to be baptized in water either, because he had the real inward baptism and was inwardly regenerated, born again of the Spirit. He died and followed Christ into paradise that very day. We know this because Jesus said he would follow him, not in the world, but into paradise.
And Jesus knew that the man couldn't be baptized in water. It was just impossible, so he was baptized with the water from above, the Spirit. Okay, then what else?
Jesus said, quote, "ye must be born again," unquote. Going to church, having good morals, reading the Bible, being persecuted, fasting and praying, taking communion, partaking in rituals, singing hymns, being a good person, feeding and clothing people, visiting people in prisons and hospitals, and just holding a good thought, all these are not enough, because Jesus said, quote, "ye must be born again," unquote, of water and of the Spirit. The life of Satan with his law of sin and death that God, through Paul, said dwells in our flesh must be constantly policed. It must be mortified, which is the same as the cross, our baptism into Christ's death and his burial. It must constantly be held under water in burial by the power of God's life continuously resurrected and alive in us. The word states that the three satanic forces are the world, the flesh, and the devil. All of these are in opposition to God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, and his bride, who are one. The world is totally against the Father as creator of heaven, of earth, and of all that is therein. When God came to the world as a man in Jesus, he destroyed Satan's system for all those who come to him. The reason Satan's world system is fighting Christians so hard today is because we are taking back God's kingdom by the life of God in us, which is the grace of God. Satan's work has all been in vain. He has worked invisibly all these years for nothing. Now he is in a state of wrathful panic. He openly shows himself as the arch-enemy of Christ and Christianity. He and his world order say, quote, "What's the difference if we come out of the closet and are known? All is lost anyways. It's over. Who cares if the world knows we are corrupt, evil, and wicked?" He knows soon that he will be burning in hell and hell's fire forever, along with all those who have foolishly followed him. What could Satan do that would be more demonic than nailing the Lord of glory to a cross and persecuting the Christians in whom he lives from then on? And what could God as Christ do to show us more of his power than raise himself up from the dead, ascend into his kingdom, and begin to reign from that lofty vantage point in the bodies of his millions of followers down here who are intently listening to him for every direction?
We're going to have to continue this on tomorrow's broadcast. Will be part three of baptism. But right now we're going to have a sinner's prayer. Those of you that want to be baptized into the body of Christ, and then eventually then also be baptized with the power of God, the Holy Spirit, just repeat this prayer after me, but say it to the Almighty God. Say, "My God, my Lord and my God, have mercy upon my soul, a sinner. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God, and I believe that he died on the cross and shed his precious blood for the forgiveness of all my filthy sins. And I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead by the power of the Holy Spirit. I open up the door of my heart, and I invite you into my heart, Lord Jesus. Wash all of my filthy sins away in the precious blood that you shed for me. You will not turn me away, Lord Jesus. You will save my soul. I know, because your word says so. Your word says you'll turn no one away, and that includes me. The Bible says that all that call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Therefore, I know you have, your word is true. I know you've heard me. I know you've answered me. And I know I'm saved, and I thank you, Lord Jesus, for saving my soul. Now just raise your hands and say, "Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for saving my soul." Praise the Lord. And our time is gone right now, but continue praising and thanking the Lord, and read your word and pray to the Lord all the time. And until then, tomorrow, for part three of baptism, this is World Pastor Tony Alamo saying God bless you and praise the Lord. Amen.